Verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So James goes back to this idea of persevering under trial. He begins with this idea, and he is hitting on this point again. And I again have 3 points that I want to consider this morning. First of all, James says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. And my first point is that Christian living is hard. That's why we have to persevere. That's why perseverance is a theme that is found throughout Scripture. Many of the metaphors used in Scripture to talk about the Christian life, it emphasizes this aspect of the need to persevere, right? The picture that is often drawn is that of a race, right? Hebrews chapter 12, it says, run this race. Paul often talks about this race that we're on. Paul also says he compares it to a fight. I have fought the good fight. In another place, Paul says, compares the Christian life, his ministry to the games, which is sports, like sporting events, which all require perseverance, all require endurance and working hard. Christian living is hard, right? The mission that we've been given by God, whatever it is for each person in our sphere of influence, in our family, in our workplace, in our church, it's difficult to faithfully complete the mission that God has given to us. Obedience is hard, right? Obedience is hard because we're often, drawn to disobedience. We're often drawn to sinful desires that are contrary to the will of God, but we have to lay those things down and try to obey. Loving people, which is probably the greatest command that we have, loving God and loving others, is hard, right? Jesus specifically says, if you are good, if you love those who are good to you, that means nothing, right? Because he says even wicked people do that. So what you're called to do is love people and be good to those people who, specifically those people that are doing the very opposite to you. And that's what our calling is. Because that's what the Father does. The Father is merciful. He shows mercy to everybody. And God and Jesus says, I want you to do the same. And that's hard. So a few weeks ago when I opened up this book, the second verse is about perseverance, right? Consider it all joy when you go through trials of various kinds, because through those things you learn perseverance. And I use this phrase, which is coined by Eugene Peterson, talking about the pastoral ministry, but I think it applies to all Christian living, is long obedience in the same direction. Long obedience in the same direction. I think that's why it requires perseverance. That's why the Christian life is hard, because it's not this short distance sprint and then you're done. It's ongoing until the day we die, right? Until we're done with this life, we have to continue in this same direction, and it's a long, long obedience, this idea of being faithful. And to do that while keeping a good attitude, while keeping a good heart, that can be quite hard. Often. So I'm subscribed to this one particular newsletter by this Christian leader. His name is Kerry Newhoff, which I think he's really helpful. And he's saying that 2021 has been one of the hardest years for pastors. Church members leaving. You know, COVID, I think, has brought up a lot of things. And so he says, I think this year, more than, I'm not sure if I'm exaggerating, but I think like more than usual, definitely, maybe more than ever, more church leaders are quitting. And the one thing that he characterizes this year by, it just came into my inbox yesterday, or maybe this morning, is discouragement. So how do we handle discouragement? And we've been going through a tough time in our church as well. And just this EMP, I was prepping it yesterday, it came at such a timely moment for me because without getting too personal, yesterday's Thursday, on Wednesday night, I was talking with my wife and saying, oh man, it's so hard. Sometimes I just want to quit. And not even joking, quite serious. I was like, oh, it's so hard. And all night that night, and then Thursday came around. Wednesday was hard because I was feeling unwell. So I was working from home. So then the kids are there. It's so hard to work from home. So it's just a bad day. Thursday, I came to the office already having a better day because I'm not torn between like being with the kids. Just, I was able to focus on the work. But then the EMP, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to prep for EMP. And I opened up this passage, and it was this verse. And I was like, oh, I have to persevere. And I want to encourage you. You have to persevere, right? We can't let self-pity get us, you know? Oswald Chambers, in his devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest, he says, self-pity is of the devil, right? Because self-pity does no good to anybody, right? Once you get into that mode of just, woe is me, like, oh, I'm going through such a tough time, then it's all about you, right? We lose focus, we lose sight of God, our mission, our purpose, all those things. So discouragement, self-pity, and we have the enemy of our soul, you know? He's always out to bring us down. I think discouragement happens naturally. Self-pity can happen naturally, but once the enemy like empowers that, then it becomes so much harder. And so I want to encourage you, as I feel like God is encouraging me through this passage, is you have to persevere. We have to persevere. We have to guard a humble heart, you know? We have to guard a good heart. We have to guard against self-pity. We have to guard against self-righteousness. We have to guard against anger. Resentment, bitterness. We have to guard love, right? The genuine love, tender love. We have to guard kindness. We have to guard joy. We have to guard thanksgiving, right? Give thanks in all circumstances. We have to guard it. And we have to treasure relationships and not close our hearts and try to stay faithful in doing all of that. That's what it means to persevere. And James says, blessed is the one, right? Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. He says that because I think trial is a normal part of life. I mean, what, Christian or not, trials are a normal part of life. Life is hard, and therefore we have to learn to persevere. Second point is we have to make changes to make You have to make changes to make your life sustainable. So I think there is nothing noble about insisting on and sticking to an unsustainable pace, right? I mean, I think if you watch the Olympics, you see that in races, especially the long distance races. You always see one or two people that just start out really well, and they seem like they're like so far ahead of the people that are behind them. But what happens at the end of, I don't know, 5K race or 10K race, always the people at the back start to come up. You can't sustain that pace, and they always slow down, and the people at the back are the ones that come up and actually they eventually win the race. If perseverance is this crucial, right? If persevering is this crucial, and perseverance, we can, so in other words, that word perseverance, we can look at that as not giving up, right? Which is we're going to be try to stay faithful. But we could also look at perseverance as not burning out. Because if you burn out, you can't persevere. I mean, so it might not be you giving up, but if you burn out, you crash and you burn, then you no longer can continue this race. So if perseverance is this crucial, then we need to make adjustments to make sure that we'll be able to stay in this race long term. Sometimes I think we view perseverance as enduring as much suffering, as much pain as possible. And we kind of consider it to be something to like be proud of. Like, man, don't we do that sometimes? Like this, we have this subtle kind of brag about how difficult my life is, you know? Like, oh man, I got whatever. Like, I only got 2 hours of sleep last night, and like, I think it's very subtle, and maybe we do it subconsciously, but sometimes we have this idea of like, man, I'm going through so much suffering, and like, my life is so busy, right? We often say there's a subtle kind of pride about how busy my life is, how full my plate is, and we, I don't know, we feel affirmed by that. And so we view perseverance, like we think persevering is, man, I'm going through so much suffering and so hard, but I'm enduring and I'm persevering. And there's certainly an aspect of perseverance that is being able to endure pain. I think we have to have that. We have to endure suffering and pain to persevere. But if we like continue on with that idea of I'm just going to endure as much pain and suffering, I think you'll eventually, it's not sustainable. Like, you won't be able to continue doing that. So it's better to then take a look at your life and say, man, why is it so difficult? Why is it so much suffering, so much pain, and make adjustments? Right? It would be silly for an athlete to have an injury to say, well, I'm so hardcore, I'm just going to persevere through it, and you never treat it. Eventually, you will not, you know, you'll have to, you may not give up, but you will be taken out because you can't sustain that. So, I mean, what does that mean? Take breaks, you know? Take breaks, go on holidays, rest as much as possible. I mean, I know sometimes life is like, you know, when you have small children or you have certain situations, certain times, seasons where you can't do that and you have to just not give up and try to endure and persevere. But don't let it be too long term. You know, we set limits and boundaries as much as possible so that we can get rest and recharge and refresh so that we can continue. So Kerry Newhoff, who I referenced earlier, he says something like this. He says, we are much more generous in terms of like finances, resources. We're much more loving in terms of relational, emotional, that kind of resource. We are much more generous, we're much more loving, we're much more effective in our ministry when we have margins. Right? When there's margins in our life, so let's say your expenses are $500 and you make $1,000, $500 margin, when you have that, you are much more generous. But if you always go to the very limits, right, of your life, it's difficult to be generous. It's difficult to be generous with your time. It's difficult to be loving to people. So what he's saying is, if it's actually not noble or honorable to always push yourself to your limits all the time, because that actually leads to an unfruitful life, right? So he's big on this. I mean, he burned out badly, I think, about 10 years ago. And for about a year, he was like, he couldn't function, right, as a pastor. And so he speaks about this. So I think that's important for us to remember. And the third thing, and this is so, I thought this was a really good revelation, but it's already 7:30. So I'll give you a very short version. But there is a glorious reward awaiting us in the future. Right? James says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, NASB. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There is this glorious reward that is promised us, and it's okay to be motivated by it. It's okay to be motivated by this future hope of this glorious reward, right? There is this, like many people over the years, myself included, sometimes have trouble with this idea of reward, being motivated by reward. And we think, isn't that selfish? Isn't that selfish to be motivated by reward? If I'm only obeying God, or if I'm only persevering for a reward, isn't that self-seeking? Isn't that selfish? Isn't that the very thing we're supposed to lay down before God? I've heard this from people too, and I've had the same sentiment before. I don't need anything from God, right? He's already given me everything. He's already done so much for me. Reward or no reward, I will obey, right? And that seems noble, and that seems like the right thing to do. But the only problem with that is Scripture consistently will use reward, like this kind of talk. There's a crown waiting for you. Like, you're going to be rewarded. God's going to reward you for how you live this life. And like clearly used in a motivating fashion, right? It's like, this is an incentive for you. So then how do we reconcile the two ideas? And, you know, spend some time thinking about it. But I'm beginning to see that it is only a problem if the reward that we're seeking is some like material thing or some kind of something other than God, something other than relationship with God. And if so, let me try to explain. So, like, you know, some of us have kids. My son is Joel. So if Joel is hiding his real motivation. Let's say we, because it's Christmas time, so we have gifts and chocolates. Let's say what he really wants is gifts. What he really wants is chocolate, but he comes to me and he says, oh, Appa, I love you, you're the best, whatever. He just does something really nice. And my wife and I were so excited, and so we like want to give him something out of this love relationship. Like, I'm accepting his love, and I give him something. But then I realized later on that what he really only wanted was that thing. I would be hurt. But, oh man, it's hard to, like, explain. But I think in a love relationship, it's natural and it's good for you to long for and hope for the other person that you're showing love to receive your love and to show love back. So, you know, sometimes I do that with my wife, right? Let's say if I'm only nice to my wife so that I can get something from her, that would be wrong, right? That seems like self-seeking, dishonest, not a very good way. But if I show love to my wife, like I buy her flowers or I buy her a gift, you know, sometimes I spend many hours looking for the right flower, right bag, right gift, and I give it to her, and sometimes she doesn't like it, and she doesn't show appreciation. She's like, I mean, she tries to be nice, but I can tell she's like, oh man, these are like my least favorite flowers. Then I feel dejected. I'm like, oh man, I spent all this time, but there is no acceptance of this thing that I'm giving her. But like, it's natural for me to long for that approval and that acceptance. That's the reward. Like, I'm not doing it for anything else, but I want to show love to her, and I want her to receive that love and show love back. And I think that's normal. I think that's good. Remember when Bill Clinton, like, had an affair, and Hillary Clinton said something like, it doesn't matter to me, like, I love him anyway, something like that. Like, she just seemed so not bothered by the fact that he was unfaithful to her. And I remember reading at the time, like, what she's doing is actually not love. Like, genuine love would actually be really hurt and disappointed that this person that you're supposed to be in relationship with is not doing his part to love you. And John Piper says people that like insist on saying that they don't need anything from God, they don't need this kind of reward or approval from God, he says it's self-sufficiency cloaked as a sacrifice. So self-sufficiency cloaked as this noble, humble desire. And I think that's my biggest issue with it, because what I hear when people say something like that is, it's pride, arrogance. Like, I don't need it. I'm better than that. My heart is more noble than that. And I always want to say, are you saying you're more noble than Jesus, who is the one that like uses this kind of thing to motivate you? And Paul, Paul, you can tell he's like excited for the reward that is coming at the end. But you know what I think is one way to look at it is, don't consider the reward as some kind of material thing. I think that's where we get it mixed up. Like, we're going to receive this crown, and it's going to be gold, and it's going to be diamond, and it's going to be something like some kind of treasure. Maybe the reward is just one way to talk about the fact that God is pleased with you. Like, he's approving you. If you look at it that way, doesn't it make sense? Because don't we all want to please God? And don't we all want to hear at the end of our lives, we go to God and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been so faithful. I'm so proud of you. I'm so pleased with you. And I'm so happy at the way you lived your life, at the way you persevered, at the way you've been faithful and you kept on. You won this race. I'm so proud of you. And maybe the way that the Bible writers are kind of illustrating that is in this way of talk, like crowns and rewards. But we kind of get so messed up about that, and we think, oh, because I think it's a reaction against the prosperity gospel, which is good. We don't want to adopt a prosperity gospel like mentality, like I'm gonna obey God because if I do that, then I'm gonna receive a Ferrari or everything's gonna work out for me. That's wrong. And I think maybe this is a reaction against it. Anyway, thanks. Cardia is going to lead us in a song. But yeah, I think it's okay to meditate and just think, man, like if I persevere, even though it's difficult, and I make the difficult adjustments in my life so that I can make sure that I endure for the long run and I persevere till the end, and I stay faithful. I'm gonna have this glorious encounter with the Father. You know, when this life is over, I'm gonna have this glorious encounter with God, where he's gonna receive me. He's gonna acknowledge the sacrifices. He's gonna acknowledge the difficulty that we've had to endure, right? He's gonna acknowledge the pain and the suffering that we've had to endure, and he's gonna say, man, I was with you when you were going through that. And I know how hard it was for you, and I'm so proud of the way you handle that. And I mean, through other passages in scripture, we know the heart of God, that he's not an exacting father. He's not gonna be like, well, you didn't quite persevere as well as you needed to, therefore I'm disappointed. I mean, we know that his grace is going to cover the times when we failed, and he's going to look at the way we tried. And you know, I just think that's it's good to meditate on that and allow that to strengthen our hearts to continue on in this race. So let's worship.
Forevermore. outrun my words. Let my life outweigh my songs. Let my deeds outrun my words. Let my life outweigh my songs. Unbroken praise be yours, God, forever. All my praise be yours, God, forever. Lord, take this life, let it become your throne. Unbroken praise be yours.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I thank you for this passage, God. I pray that you will help us, all of us, Lord, to persevere, God, to persevere under trials of various kinds, God. And I pray that when it's all said and done, that we will receive the crown of life. We will receive your approval. You know, there will be some kind of acknowledgement from you, and it's gonna be it's like unimaginable, you know, but you're gonna acknowledge us, and you're gonna say well done. And I pray, God, that that we would find strength in that idea, God. We'll find strength in your love for us, God. Okay, let's pray together. Let's pray for those battling cancer and going through chemo, radiation therapy, or surgery. Let's pray together. Let's pray for those who have illness and are in need of salvation. So this person is not on the list on Friday. I think he's on the list on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But we can take off Stephen Lux's father. He had lymphoma, stage 4, I think. But he's doing really well. Like cancer is in full remission, and he's health. I don't know. Stephen says he's healthier than before because he's changed his lifestyle and is like doing much, much better. So yeah, we praise God for that, and let's continue to pray that that we'll hear more stories of healing and recovery and breakthrough like this. So let's continue to pray for the people on this list. Thank you. Let's pray for those with various infirmities. Let's pray for healing. Yeah, let's pray for healing for our friends on this list. Let's go to our Friday prayer focus. Oh no, sorry, jobs. Let's pray for our friends on this list. Let's pray for provision. Let's pray for God to move in a powerful way. Let's pray for God's favor, provision. Mission focus. Let's pray for Japan, India, Hong Kong, Cambodia. Let's pray for the different ministers there. Pastor Sophia, Jungmin and Hyunjin, Kelly, Ange, and Pastor Jenny in Cambodia. Let's pray for favor, anointing, strength, perseverance for our friends there. Let's pray for the Mission Council. I'll just read it for us. It's Pastor Samuel, Tim Tang, Sally, Mike Lee, John Koshy, and Pastor Andrew. Let's pray that they will be able to lead our church well in our mission endeavors. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray for their personal lives. Let's pray for favor. Let's pray. Let's pray for our local outreaches, Igape, Homi, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation, SP Lights. Let's pray for Tim, who's overseeing all the local outreaches. And let's pray for the leaders of each ministry and the volunteers. Let's pray that they'll have so much fruit through this ministry. Thank you. Let's pray for SP Fam. Let's pray for Cadence, who is leading this ministry, and pray for all the families that are currently fostering right now at SP. And let's pray for the children. Let's pray for fruit from this ministry. Let's pray for the Friday night gatherings. So IP team is meeting here, so let's pray for IP team. But if we can pray for SPU and SP youth this weekend, they're going away on their retreat. So let's pray for a really amazing time for these two groups that they will encounter God. Let's pray for Pastor Andrew, Donald, and Caleb, and all the teachers and leaders and all the students. Guest speaker is James Tang for the youth group. For SPU, they will be doing their own thing, going over emotionally healthy spirituality. So let's pray for a really great time for these two groups, and let's also pray for the IP team tonight. Lastly, let's pray for the pregnant moms. So on the list is Cecilia, Amanda, Angela, Joan, Common, and there's others on the list as well. So let's pray for God's protection for the moms and the babies. Father God, thank you so much for this time. We love you. We give our day to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.